All right, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 83 in this American History program of History at Our House. Today we're going to see that the United States is going to go from helping Cuba to policing the entire world. And so we're going to have to try to figure out, how did that happen? Because, as I reminded you last time, when we entered into this final chapter or set of chapters of American history, we look back to what the Founding Fathers had said about how America should behave in the world. And this was advice that they had given that had been accepted as good advice ever since America was created. And we'll see that those two things don't seem to go together. So we remember that George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and James Monroe and the other founding fathers had all basically given the same advice. They said, the purpose of government is to protect rights. And since the American government is the only one that does this, and other countries don't agree, and other countries are dangerous, the proper thing for America to do with regard to other countries is not get involved in their affairs. So that was the advice of the Founding Fathers, which America did all the way until 1898. And then things started to change. It wasn't obvious at first because the change was small. It had to do with this little part of the world. Seems kind of harmless, the small change that we're talking about here, right? Because here we have the United States, and here right next to it is this neighbor over here, this tiny, I mean, it's a big island for the Caribbean, but compared to the United States, it's small, right? A small place, small, really close neighbor to the United States, Cuba. So, what happened? What did we see happen in Cuba? What was the problem? What was it that got Americans thinking that they should act differently than the advice of the Founding Fathers? That they should act differently than especially what we call the Monroe Doctrine. What was happening in Cuba that got their attention and made them rethink things? Abby?
Well, when the Cubans were fighting so close to them, they got a bit concerned, so they sent an American battleship over to Cuba.
Okay, but hold on for a sec before we continue with that. You said the Cubans were fighting. Is that the whole picture?
No, the Cubans were rebelling against Spain, and that was causing fighting in Cuba.
Okay, all right, so good. That's the first crucial point here, is that there was a fight between a colony and a European power. And so this was one thing that was a little bit confusing for Americans, because they looked at that and they said, well, the Monroe Doctrine and the advice of the Founding Fathers is we don't want Europeans meddling in the Americas. We want them separate from us. So that was something that had people wondering, okay, does this apply here? Now, technically, it did not apply, right? Because Cuba was a part of the Spanish Empire ever since the Founding Fathers had been around, and they never said in their advice to Americans, we're not going to get involved in other people's affairs unless it's close by. Then we will meddle, right? They didn't say that. And they didn't say that the European powers could not continue to be powerful in the way that they were. They just said, we don't want European powers coming back to America to take over independent parts. But Cuba never was independent. Now, some Americans were looking at Cuba and saying, well, it wants to be independent. Shouldn't we help? Shouldn't we help? This was the question. And then, as Abby said, something happened which made it harder to think this through very clearly. Abby, go ahead with what that thing was that you said earlier. What was that new thing that made it harder to stay out of the war? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the Americans sent a battleship over to Cuba just to let Cuba know that they were concerned about this fighting close to their house.
Mm-hmm.
And close to their home, close to their country, and then, well, the battleship got destroyed. And so they thought, well, now that somebody's destroying our battleships over there, we need to go get involved.
Yeah, that's just it. It wasn't clear what to do. Now that made it less clear, because once an American ship is destroyed, doesn't that seem like a war that you're now defending America against? Now, it wasn't clear what had happened, but Americans saw this as pretty much a good reason to get involved, and they did. All right, so it wasn't much of a fight. America was, by this point in history, quite a bit stronger than Spain. But something happened that made this much more important than just a struggle for independence of Cuba. Really, if that's what this was, if America just got involved and helped one of its neighbors to become independent, well, we might not be talking about that this year. Really, that would be quite a small story, wouldn't it? The independence of Cuba? We didn't talk about the independence of Brazil. That's a huge country in the Americas. We hardly talked at all about the independence of Mexico, even if we did, and that's way bigger than Cuba. So would we be talking about it? Why does the fact that the United States helped Cuba to become independent become a part of our story? And as a hint for you all, the answer's on this map. And as a double hint, the answer's in red. So, who now can figure out what the answer is? Why did America's desire to help Cuba make an important chapter of history? Not just a tall detail or something that we can kind of skip over, but actually an important chapter of history. Jeremy, go ahead. Jeremy, are you there? I'm having trouble hearing you. See what you can do on your end. Rosetta, go ahead.
Because Cuba belonged to Spain, and Spain was a global, had territories all over the world.
Yeah, territories that it had conquered. What do we call that when you are a global what? You were going to say it, but I think you stopped yourself from saying it. What do we
An
empire. There you go. Right. Spain was a global empire. And that meant going to war with Spain required being careful of what Spain could do just about anywhere. Spain, for instance, controlled the Philippines and Guam, these islands over here. That means Spain could attack the United States in the Pacific. And the United States would have to be able to take care of that threat on both sides of the country. So yeah, going to war with Spain meant fighting a global war, including the Philippines and things over here in the Pacific. So America became involved not only in making Cuba independent, but making the Philippines independent. So that means the importance of this war kind of expanded, because the United States attacked the Spanish Navy in the Philippines, and the people there needed help just as much as the people in Cuba needed help. What was the United States going to do? The United States destroyed the Spanish Navy there, and now was trying to take care of the Philippines as well. So this was starting to change how America was behaving in a bigger way. It wasn't just a local, small neighbor. Now it was a country all the way across the Pacific Ocean over in Asia that the United States was helping. This is the beginning of America acting as an international police power. What the United States was now going to do was to take care of Cuba and to take care of the Philippines, because there was this bully, the Empire of Spain, that would otherwise go back and conquer these places again. And the United States was going to have to police that. Right? So this is where this idea of a police power comes in. The United States was going to be taking care of countries, not really quite conquering them and controlling them like other countries had done in the past, but taking care of them, policing those parts of the world. All right, so now let's see how this just kept on going. It seemed to build on itself. And after the United States took this one small step, It just seemed to keep on going in the same direction. So we got a lot of different, people have a lot of different sayings about this. Like one nice saying is, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. I think that's a Chinese proverb or something like that, which is a nice sounding thing. But in a way, that's what was going to happen here. The United States was taking a step in a certain direction, and if it kept on going in that direction, it was just going to keep on going and going and going. And the problem is, it was going to keep on going, because there's another proverb. It's a Western proverb. It goes like this. In for a penny, in for a pound. Does anybody know what that means? What I'm getting at about that? Protect Cuba? Protect the Philippines. Protect the Philippines? Now what? Anybody see where this is going? Where does this go? Where does it stop, Walker?
Protect Cuba.
No, we already did protect Cuba. And now we got protect the Philippines. Now we got protect the Philippines, now what? That's what I'm asking you. If you get the meaning of the proverb, in for a penny, in for a pound, protect what, Rosetta?
Protect the world.
The whole world, exactly. That's in for a penny, in for a pound. In for the Philippines, in for the world. Because if you are going to say, well, you're going to go over to Asia and help people over there, well, okay, why not Africa? Well, why not anywhere else, right? Why not Europe? That's going to be an interesting one that we're going to have to talk about. So yeah, here's the question is, if that's the business that you're in, how are you going to behave from now on? And the next thing that happened had to do with another part of the world, which is an interesting connection. It really makes sense that the next thing that's going to happen. So first we've got, everybody knows their geography here. We've got Cuba highlighted on the map, right? And the United States is this huge country, right, spanning the North American continent. Now, what was interesting about this was that for the next chapter is that, well, we have Cuba over here, and it's on the side of the Atlantic Ocean. And that's where the United States started, right? But then, because the United States had expanded so much and became a huge country, it was also over here on the Pacific Ocean, which is where the Philippines are. Now, if you need to police two oceans because you've decided you're going to start taking care of people on either side here, well, you need to be able to move stuff from one side to the other, right? As you need to move supplies. And especially if you're going to fight wars, what else do you need to be able to move from one side to the other? Excuse me. What else, Rosetta?
You would need supplies for gunpowder.
That's true, but how are you getting from, you know, for instance, from Cuba to Philippines on what?
On a ship.
On a ship, indeed, right? To be a world police power, you had to have a big navy. And if you're going to do that, this map doesn't help us very much because it's got kind of a big rectangle in the way. But how would you have to get stuff from Cuba to the Philippines? Or, let's just make it, you know, more broadly, from places in the Atlantic to places in the Pacific. Let's say you want to move something over here from your big naval base in Norfolk to another naval base in San Francisco. How do you do it? Well, we got one way that we already know of. This is the Industrial Revolution, right? Walker, what are the ways?
Trains.
Yeah, you could move it. So if it's just inside the country, you can move it by trains. But what about your ships? How do you move your ships from one side to the other? Go ahead, Walker.
You'll probably have to sail down through the Panama Canal or all the way around South America.
Wait a minute. That's called an anachronism. Do you know what an anachronism is, Walker? It's a mistake in timing because that did not exist yet. That's exactly what I'm getting at. So before the Panama Canal, Walker, what would you have to do?
You'd have to go around South America.
Go all the way around South America. All right, so, you know, just, you know, we've got the continent of South America here, and I don't have It's not fully on our screen here, but if I were to fill in this map, the continent of South America goes all the way down here, okay? So let's just fill that in with some gray here. All right, so it goes all the way down there. So if you wanted to go there, now we put our ship route here from, we're going to send a fleet to the Philippines, or we're going to have to go all the way like this. Okay? Which, certainly not very convenient. Now, Walker is suggesting something which was already on the minds of Americans. It didn't exist yet, but it was on the minds of Americans. Look how narrow things are over here. Look how tiny that is. You know, maybe we could sneak through there, huh? Now, it turns out it's all land, so you can't do it. Unless you can make a man-made river. Unless you have industrial technology. You know, now we've got the Industrial Revolution. We can do lots of stuff like that. Steam-powered shovels and massive equipment and metal and everything that you can... Oh, yeah, you can make a man-made river through a small part of the continent called Panama. The problem was this. Now I'm going to take you to a map here. There was no such thing as Panama. As you can see from this map, Panama was part of a country that has a pretty cool name. What country was it a part of, Abby?
It was a part of...
Right here.
Wait. Colombia.
Colombia, right. It was not a country. This here was all of Colombia. It was a part of Colombia. And Colombia refused to make a deal with the United States. See, the United States wanted to come here with all of its modern industrial technology. And they said to Panama, we'll make a deal with you here. We'll cut a man-made river right through this skinny part right here. As long as you let us control it. Because, you know, we're going to do all the work. So, And we want to be an international police power. So we want you to let us have control over this part of the territory. We'll make a river here. Through from one continent to another, basically. And Colombia said, no deal. We're not interested in having you guys do that. And so the United States was pretty upset about that. And, well, the president of the United States found out that this part of Colombia, which we now call the country of Panama, but which, you see, is marked in yellow, was the province of Panama within Colombia, wanted to secede. Everybody here knows what secede means. Patrick, what does secede mean?
Leave the Union.
Leave the Union. But which Union? This is not the Union of the United States. This is the Union of...
Colombia.
Colombia. So Panama wanted to secede from Colombia. All right. So the United States said to the Panamanians, all right, you guys want to secede. We'll help you as long as you let us have the canal that we want. What do you guys think of that now? How do you think, what would the United States have thought if Britain went and helped the Confederacy to secede from the United States? What would the United States have said about that, huh? Walker?
That isn't fair.
Well, I mean, worse than that, you know. This is our business. This is our country. You have no right to meddle in our affairs. Keep out. Now, here we have another country called Colombia. And there is a province of that country that wants to secede. Colombia would say to the United States, this is none of your business. This is our country, and we're not going to let this part of our country go away any more than you would let the South go out of your country. So keep out of our business. But the United States did not. The United States wanted to be an international police power now, and so this was a problem for the United States. There was a part of the country that wanted to secede, and the United States wanted to help. because the United States wanted a canal. So in 1903, Panama became independent from Colombia. It says so right here on our Wikipedia page. The separation of Panama was formalized in 1903 with American help, and then the United States started building the Panama Canal. So, the United States was now going and interfering in the affairs of another country in order to be an international police power. This is very different than what the Founding Fathers said, isn't it? If you're police, if you're trying to help Cuba be independent, well, that, you know, maybe you could say that's, you know, that's right next door and we should help them, and that kind of makes sense. But now we've got the Philippines, and also, and now we're also taking apart another country in order to be the world police power. Was this right? Did Americans want to do this? They weren't sure. This was a new kind of behavior. The United States was getting involved, it seemed like, in more and more things around the world. Was this the right way to behave? The Monroe Doctrine didn't seem to say that. Except, the President of the United States, named Theodore Roosevelt, said that it did. President Theodore Roosevelt gave a speech in 1905, and in it, he said, the United States was going to be, there are the words right there, I think he was the first ever to use them, an international police power. But notice what he said. Now, this speech is in all grown-up flowery language, so it's hard to read. But notice up here what he said was, the United States was going to be an international police power because of... Patrick?
The Monroe Doctrine.
Now, wait a minute. How does that make sense? Now, he's got a long-winded trick that he's playing over here. But notice what it says down here is the most interesting part. Because what would the Monroe Doctrine say? We only go to war with other people if... This is what the Monroe Doctrine would say, right? Just as it... That's what it says down here in Theodore Roosevelt's speech, too. If another country violates the rights of the United States, which just means the rights of Americans, right? Okay. Then we could go to war with them. But notice here... A tiny word that's really, really much more important than it looks like. Did President Monroe have an or in there? Did the Founding Fathers have an or in their advice to America? Did George Washington say, we should stay neutral or not? Right? Did he have that in there? But no, in here, President Roosevelt says, well, if the rights of Americans are under attack or... This should be really capital letters. Or the other country. Well, does anybody know what these words mean? Had invited foreign aggression to the detriment of the entire body of American nations. Just try to get your parents to explain what that means. That's gobbledygook. What does that mean? It means, or... If there's a problem somewhere, that's what it means. So if Americans' rights are in trouble, or there's a problem somewhere. So he was trying to tell Americans, this is the Monroe Doctrine, folks. You know, he knew, the president knew that Americans wanted to follow that. They remembered that. They thought that was a good idea. So he said, well, we're going to do that. Except following the Monroe Doctrine isn't quite what you thought, folks. It's actually being an international police power. Now, Americans were not sold on this. Now, this was the first time a president was telling them this. He was telling them, you know, we're going to kind of look at it in a new way, folks. We're going to say that the Founding Fathers gave us, you know, a different kind of advice than people used to think they gave us. We're going to be an international police power now. Okay? But Americans weren't sure, is this really such a good idea? But here was an interesting thing that Americans started to get interested in. Now, here's Theodore Roosevelt, the man who made that speech. Okay? And this is kind of a poster talking about how, you know, these new ideas are a good thing and how proud Americans are of how they've been. There were these problems in 1896, but now life is better in 1900, they were claiming. And notice down here, they're saying to Americans, well, you know, I'm sorry, I wanted to highlight that, but it's hard to do. Just give me a sec. They're saying to Americans, you know, back then, there is Spanish rule in Cuba, but now, look what it says over here on their poster. Here's something that, kind of an interesting phrase. What does it say there? Rosetta?
American rule in Cuba.
American rule? Wait a minute! Since when? Is that a good thing to rule other people? It looks kind of nice, right? Everybody's farming. Everything's good. Yeah. American rule. That's different. Nemo, what's your thought there?
It's an empire and it thinks the Cleveland should rule.
It's an empire and what?
And I think the Cubans should rule.
Or maybe nobody should rule, right? Because individual rights means nobody rules anybody else. Right, but yeah, there's this idea of America should be in charge. So Americans were thinking, hey, yeah, great countries are ones that, you know, do important things in the world. They go out and they rule other parts of the world. This is definitely what Theodore Roosevelt thought. And some Americans thought, hey, maybe America should do that, because isn't that the definition of a great country? If we look all throughout, you know, the history of the world, we look at great empires like the ancient Persian Empire, the Roman Empire. If we look at China and Asia, if we look at the British Empire, oh, all the greatest countries in the history of the world, they're empires. So some Americans started getting it in their heads. Yeah, this is what America should do. If we're proud of America. America's a country of freedom and it's great, and it should be a kind of empire as well. We're starting to see new ways of thinking about America. Definitely. And Theodore Roosevelt is probably the most important president for that. But, so, Theodore Roosevelt, we saw him back here giving a speech, and he says, we're going to be an international police power because of the Monroe Doctrine. Okay, and seemed like some Americans were thinking, oh yeah, that's okay, we can make sense of that. We want to help people in places like Cuba. Well, let me ask you this. Do you think he could convince Americans that America should be an international police power in Europe because of the Monroe Doctrine? Do you think that was going to be easy to make the case? Could you take the Monroe Doctrine and say, what it really means is we should interfere in Europe? Could that work? Rosetta, what do you think?
No, because it wouldn't work because they had lots of trouble with Europe originally.
Yeah, I mean, that was the whole point of the Monroe Doctrine. So the whole point was, I mean, in an obvious way, the whole point was to keep out of Europe. Because George Washington said we need to be neutral in European wars. The Monroe Doctrine said we need to keep Europe out of America, America out of Europe. So there was no way you could take the Monroe Doctrine and say, oh yeah, that means we should go and get involved in European wars. So you might be able to get away with it for Cuba, maybe Panama. Ooh, Philippines is pretty tricky there, but no way it was going to work for Europe. And in 1914, a war, a terrible, terrible war, started in Europe. It was huge. It involved all the major countries of Europe. It involved France. It involved Germany. It involved Russia. It involved Italy. It involved Britain. It involved all the great countries of Europe. And it was terrible. It was going to become what historians call World War I. What was America to do? Would America enter a war like that? The Monroe Doctrine said not to. Absolutely, and there was no way to pretend otherwise. So, what was going to happen? What we will see is that the United States did enter World War I. And we're going to have to understand why. It's very important. In a way, it's what I said earlier. It's the last comment for the day. In for a penny, in for a pound. If your new job is to help Cuba and to help Philippines and to help Panama, well, what is it that you're really saying your new job is? Rosetta already said it, so she can say it again.
Policing the world.
Policing the entire world. Exactly. You can't put a limit on that. So we will see that that's exactly what America started to do. Okay, on to World War I tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, Mr. Powell.
Bye.
Bye.